Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
Stand with me if you would as we reverence the reading of His Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, I want to go to the 17th chapter. Lord willing, we're going to wrap up in this service volume one of a series study we picked up 4 weeks ago on how to increase our faith. And Lord willing, next Wednesday, we're going to begin to talk about how to work your faith. You know, faith without corresponding action is dead. You've heard the verse, faith without works is dead. That word works literally means corresponding action. Corresponding action. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Say that out loud. Faith without corresponding action is dead. So if you have faith, then there needs to be some corresponding action to that faith. And so we've talked a lot about faith and how to increase your faith by seeing faith as seed through the avenue of God's word. Well, next week, we're going to get down to business, you understand? Hallelujah. And you'll never be the same again. Watch this. Luke 17, we'll begin in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, what y'all sick of? Anybody sick of any? You know, sick of something? Huh? Some of y'all sick and broke, and some of y'all just sick of being broke. But he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Or in other words, there would be a manifestation of your words once you've treated faith like seed. That's what he's saying here, and we'll elaborate on this as we move forward with part four. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. You said that you sent your word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our destructions. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your spirit that, Lord, you said would lead us into all truth. So we thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge him as our teacher and leadership into all truth. Father, I pray for all that would be here in this assembly, for those that are watching this live feed, Lord, that you would bless our hearing, that your people would receive revelation knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. Lord, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, and that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. I have read this same verse, or these same verses, at the beginning of each message in this series, because it is so important that you understand what Jesus said here and that you recognize, based on what most of us have heard, we need to see what he didn't say. The apostles came to Jesus here and they said, Lord, increase our faith. The Lord's response in verse 6 was, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Jesus is saying there will be a manifestation of your words when faith is treated like seed. Now, I know I'm going against the grain on this one. I get it. But it just seems to be what Word of God does. We just go against the grain. And I believe the reason we go against the grain is because the Word of God is against the grain. This Word is not politically correct. It's no longer socially correct or any other kind of correctness that exists out there in this world, but it is truth. And there is a difference between tradition and truth. Mark chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Your tradition has caused my word to have no effect." Your traditions have caused my word to have no effect. And so sometimes we can get so caught up in our traditions that the word of God has no effect on us because we're more loyal to our traditions than we are truth when we see it. And so traditionally, I've heard it and you've heard it, that Jesus was saying here, basically, you have no faith. Because if you had faith the size of a little old mustard seed, you could move mountains. But Jesus never said anything here about a size of a faith. What he said here was is that if you had faith as seed, if you recognize what Jesus is actually saying, then you study that in the light of his word from the very beginning of creation, you find that God established a law from the very beginning in Genesis 1:11 that every seed would produce more of its own kind. That is a law that is in the earth that is established by God that no man can violate. It's echoed in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, when God said that he would not be not deceived, that he would not be mocked, that he would not be made a fool of, that whatsoever a man soweth, that should he also reap. God, after the flood, told Noah in Genesis 8:22, he said, "As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease." So God has created a spiritual and natural law that rules everything in his creation, and that law is called seed time and harvest. And that if you want to walk in an abundance of anything, you have to find the seed that represents the harvest you desire and plant that seed and reap that harvest. That's the principle that we left off with last week in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, where Jesus, in dealing with the topics of mercy, condemnation, and judgment, said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over," that men would give back in abundance to us whatever it was that we gave. And if you study Luke 6:38 and back up a few verses, he's actually talking about mercy, judgment, and condemnation. But the point is that we walk in the harvest of whatever it is that we sow. In the Gospels, as Jesus teaches through parables, his premier parable was the parable of the sower. It's recorded in Mark 4 and in Matthew 13 that a sower went out to sow, and the seed, based on the ground that it fell into, brought forth harvest. And when seed landed in good ground, it brought forth 30, 60, and 100-fold return. Jesus said about that parable of sowing and reaping and sowing into the right ground, that if we did not understand that parable, that teaching, then we would not understand any of his teachings. That's what Jesus said in Mark 4 and in Matthew 13. I'm gonna say it another way. Jesus was saying, if you don't get this parable, that the sower soweth the word, that the word is a seed, and when this seed gets planted in the right ground, it yields its 30, 60, 100-fold return. Jesus said, if you don't get that principle, if you don't get this parable, he said, you will not understand any of my parables. He was saying, this is the principal parable that must be applied to any parable. Well, here, Jesus is giving a teaching. He's given a lesson on how to increase faith. And notice what he refers to. Immediately he goes back to the seed. If you were a disciple of Jesus in this day and you had followed Jesus around 7 days and nights and you heard his teachings again and again as we have recorded in the Gospels, you would have immediately connected seed here when he said if you had faith as seed, you would have connected that to all of his other parables that constantly deal with sowing and reaping. The parable of the tares being sown among the wheat, the parable of the sower. Jesus consistently uses the parable of sowing and reaping to make his point when it comes to the word of God and the condition of our heart, comparing God's word to seed and our heart to ground. And based on the condition of your heart and sowing the right seed in it is what causes us to walk in a harvest that brings God glory. If you take Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, out of its context and separate it from every other teaching that Jesus gave, then you walk away saying, well, if you had faith the size of a little old seed, you could move mountains. That's what happens when you don't study that verse in the light of everything else Jesus taught. But when you study this verse in the light of everything else that Jesus had to say about his word and seed and the heart of man, you recognize that the only way you're going to have an increase of faith is you've got to sow more seed faith. There's going to have to be some sowing if you want to walk in the harvest. There's got to be sowing. You have no legitimate right to harvest anything you won't sow. It's illegitimate. It's unrighteous to think that you can reap what you have never sown. You're mad at folk because they won't smile, but you won't sow a smile. You say nobody's friendly, but you're unfriendly. You say you're broke, but you won't sow no finances. See, whatever it is you're not sowing, that's what you're not reaping. I'm getting loud because I have a conviction about what I'm saying, but I'm not mad at nobody. I just get loud. I'm passionate. I had a guy today stop me, and he said, folk talk about you. They talk about you. I met this guy, and we were having a conversation at Shane's, and he said, people talk about you. They say they can't listen to you because you holler and jump around too much. And I'm like, I didn't defend that. I just am what I am. But, I'm just a passionate guy. I don't know how else to be. Some folk it'll work for. Some folk it won't work for. I am who I am. So when I get loud and I get conviction and stomp my foot and all, I'm not mad at nobody. It's just me. It's just me coming out. And the Lord gives me a conviction, and I don't know how to just sit back and just whisper it. But I'll do better. Amen. Now, and I ain't saying I got it all together. I'm the answer. No, I'm just I am who I am. It is what it is. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG, all right? Now, come over with me to Romans 10, because we got a lot to cover in this service, and that was the introduction. And I won't keep you long. I know I've been making a habit of keeping y'all long here, and I'm gonna do better, Lord willing, in this service. Lord willing, we'll be chilling at the house earlier than we were last week. All right, Romans chapter number 10. When you get there, say amen. And we got a lot of new ground to cover. And if you're taking notes, get it ready. And if you're writing them on your iPhone or your iPad, I hope your battery's charged because we got a lot to cover. I'm gonna lay some stuff out here. Romans 10, let's begin in verse 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But what saith it? Read it with me. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So according to the word here, the word of faith has to be in two places. Tell me which two places it has to be according to that verse right there. The heart and the mouth. Faith is not operative if it's not in the heart or in the mouth. Matter of fact, you're void of faith if faith is not in your heart, and you're not following the order of faith if it's not in your mouth. There's an order to faith, and when the word is not in your heart, it's void, and if it's not in your mouth, there's no follow through. Remember what Jesus said, if you had faith as seed, that's when you speak to the sycamine tree and it responds to you. You speak to your circumstances and your circumstances respond. Come on, somebody. You say, where do you get that? I done read it to you. It's in the Bible. Jesus was saying that if the issue is a sycamine tree, then you speak to it and it responds to you when you've treated faith like a seed. Problem with most believers is we've been saying the wrong thing about our issues. We've been speaking negativity over our issues. This job's gonna be the life of me. My head is killing me. I don't know what we're gonna do. We'll never get out of debt. My children, I don't know if they're gonna even make it. See, all of those words came out of your heart, and the process of faith has to be hearing the word, allowing that word to get planted, and then my mouth responding to what's been planted in my heart. But there can be no word in your heart or in your mouth if you don't do what verse 17 teaches, so drop down, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Read verse 17 out loud with me. Ready? Read. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not necessarily a sermon. Because if the sermon doesn't have the word of God in it, you don't have any faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Come with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Come on over there with me. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to drop down and look at it in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. When you get there, say amen. All right, so now according to Romans 10:8 and according to what Jesus taught in Luke 17:6, faith has to exist in at least two places. What are those two places? The heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. Now, that's not the only place it's supposed to exist, but that right there is the confirmation, your mouth, the confirmation that the seed is in. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That begins your process of faith. There's more to it. We'll talk about that next week. But notice here, faith, if it's been planted, is in your heart and it is in your mouth. Got it? All right. I recently ordered some seeds off the internet because I wanted to try to plant some trees that aren't native to the area. Now, it may work and it may not work, but if it works, it'll be cool. 100 years from now, they'll wonder how those trees got here. And I said, a man by the name of James McMinnis planted those trees 100 years ago. So we'll see what happens. But the seed came in, and I bought me one of these little containers that it has these little dirt pellets, and you put water in the dirt pellets, and all of a sudden the dirt pellet kind of blows up, and you put the seed in there and all this. And so anyway, it was a little cool, I turned our kitchen into a greenhouse. And I know my wife's ready for this experiment to get over with because I got trees growing everywhere. And so I planted all the seed in the ground, and then when I went to go look at, to check on it, I noticed that some of the seed was coming up, but a majority of it wasn't. And I got aggravated. I was like, wait a minute, I know I put the seed here. I know I sprinkled the seed in that little container. But every seed wasn't yielding. And so I went to the Lord and I was like, Lord, I know you said that what I sow I reap. And there's some seed here is not harvesting. And here's what I got from that. Is that because some of the seed came up in the same dirt and some seed didn't, the seed was corrupted. It was a corruptible seed. The seed didn't ever germinate. That's why they say when you plant at least three, and then hopefully one of the three will come up. Well, I was being too cheap, and so I only put one seed in each little container, trying to get the most trees for my dollar. But the difference between those that tree seed that I planted and the word seed is that 1 Peter 1:23 says the word of God is an incorruptible seed, which means if you get it in the right soil, you never have to worry about it coming up. All it needs is the right ground, and it will come to harvest. Now, we're bad about looking at folk on the exterior and trying to discern whether or not they're good ground for the word. We want to judge somebody by what they're wearing or what they didn't wear to church or just things about their physical attributes and say, they're good ground, they're not. But listen, it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what has been done in your life or has not been done in your life. If you will surrender your heart to the word of God and allow that word to get sown in your heart, it will bring forth a harvest in your life that will bring God glory. It is a matter of the heart. Get that seed in your heart, and I promise you there's going to come a harvest that's going to bring God's glory, because this seed always works. Now, folk will try to connect the seed to the sower. They'll do that with me. And say things, about me and why they couldn't listen to me. Well, that's okay. There's plenty of preachers. There's got to be one out there you can listen to. I don't think I can reach everybody. I can reach who I can reach, and the pastor down the street reaches who he can reach. If we'll all just reach who we can reach, then we advance the kingdom. It's all our daddy's business anyway. It's not our business. It's not our kingdom we're building. It's his kingdom we're building. So, but here's the thing, is that the increase of ministering the word, my God, the increase of ministering the word is not the result result of the location of the church. It's not the result of the skin color of the preacher. It's not the result of whatever the dynamic was in the sanctuary. No, what brings the harvest is the incorruptible seed of God's word. When it is planted into the heart of men and women and boys and girls, it will bring forth a harvest that will bring him glory, because his word will not return unto him void. Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11. So listen, don't get so anxious about your past and where you are right now. Can you yield your heart to God to be good ground for his seed? If you can say yes to that, then get this seed in your heart and take advantage of every opportunity to get that word sown in your heart so you can begin to walk in that harvest. Now, watch this here in Hebrews 10, and we'll look at it in verse number 23. You there, say amen. So what two places must the word be if you're operating in faith? The heart and in the mouth. So don't say all this stuff, and then I say, ooh, don't say that. You say, well, you know, God knows what's in my heart. Yeah, he knows what's in your heart because it's coming out your mouth. Don't excuse yourself to not allow the process of faith to operate. It must be in the heart. It must be in the mouth. Now watch this in verse 23. Let us hold fast. Let's read verse 23 out loud together. Ready? Read. Let us the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He said, hey, don't waver with your faith. Don't waver with your words. Don't waver with the profession of your mouth. Once you say it in line with God's word, no matter what your circumstances or situation may look like, you don't waver from the profession of faith that's coming out of your mouth. You have to keep your mouth in tune with the word that's in your heart. There's a beautiful example of this in Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to talk about this in the second volume. It's where God came to Abraham, and he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I've given you a miraculous son named Isaac, and through Isaac, I'm going to give you seed to outnumber the stars of heaven and the sands of the earth. And then in Genesis 22, he says, Abraham, I want you to take this miracle son Isaac up to a mount that I will tell you of, and there I want you to offer him to me. And so in Genesis 22, Abraham's heading up this mountain to offer his son to God. Now, the word teaches us in Romans 4 and in Hebrews 11 that Abraham never wavered on God's promise. So when his son, on the way up the mount, looked at him and said, Daddy, he said, here am I, son. And the son said, I see the fire. I see the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham didn't say, oh, son, be in prayer. I don't know how to tell you this, but you are the lamb. You're going to be the one offered. No, he looked back at his boy and he said these words. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. So despite what he was going through, he didn't let his words waver. His words stayed consistent with the promise of God that Isaac was going to be the name of the seed that would outnumber the stars. And at this point, Isaac had no children. Now watch this. He tells his servants after they got so far that they had to stop right here. Don't go any further with me. And this is what he tells his servants. He says, y'all wait right here while I and the lad go yonder to worship, and we will come again unto you. Now he's speaking in line with his faith. And Hebrews 11 verse 17 tells us that Abraham was seeing in his mind's eye God raising his son up from the dead. He had a vision of that in his heart, and his mouth was in alignment with what was in his heart, to the point that when he got to that mount and raised the knife to offer his son, believing that God would raise his son from the dead, because God cannot lie, and he said this boy would be the one whose seed would outnumber the stars, God had to call out of Abraham and say, stop, Abraham, for now I know. For now I know. What let God know that Abraham had faith? Abraham never wavered on that promise. Abraham never changed what he was saying. He never altered his confession all the way up that mount. His mouth was in line with his heart. Romans 4 and Hebrews 11 tell us what was in his heart. His heart was, God will raise this boy from the dead. I'm not wavering in this. And his mouth never wavered, and he got the manifestation of God in his life. You cannot let circumstances speak louder than the word of God in your life. The faith in your heart has got to be bigger than whatever it is you face with your eyes and with your ears. You line your mouth up with his word. You call the thing that be not as though it were, and you don't waver on what the word of the Lord said, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it looks like. Don't excuse yourself to get out of God's word and to not allow his word to stay rooted in your heart and the evidence be what's coming out of your mouth. There are a lot of faith-filled Christians on Sunday morning, but as soon as Monday hits, they change their tone. They change their mouth. They change their confession. You've got to keep speaking the word of faith Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, night, good time, bad time, hard time. Don't know how you're going to pay the bills, out of debt, either one. You've got to speak the word over your children when they are behaving and when they're misbehaving. You've got to line your mouth up and don't waver. Amen. Mm. Watch this. He says, let us hold fast. Read with me verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. What does that last statement there mean? He is faithful that promise. It means don't waver because God's going to do what he said he'd do. Don't waver because God's going to do what he said he'd do. Tell your neighbor that. Don't waver because God's going to do what he said he would do. But you can't waver because God can't bless you without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't not throw emotional temper tantrums with God and get your way. You cannot get frustrated that this thing's not happened as fast as you thought it would, and then go to God and say, Lord, I'm just tired. You said you were going to do this, but this thing ain't happened in my life. And Lord Jesus, you know I can't take no more. Listen, you got to hush that stuff. God is not moved by your emotion. He is only moved by faith. Keep your mouth in line with his word that's been planted in your heart. All right? Now, let's continue on. Watch verse 25. So don't waver. Right? Don't waver. He's faithful. Watch verse 25. Read with me. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now he says, look, you got to stay in the assembly. The assembly is the ecclesia. That's what the church is. The word church in Greek means ecclesia. It is an assembly. It is a called out assembly. The church is not a building, but it is an assembly. We are thankful to have a building that we can assemble in and be dry when it's raining and be cool when it's warm and be warm when it's cold. Hallelujah. And have comfortable seats. Isn't the Lord good that he would give us a place that we can assemble in comfort, a place that our kids can be taught the word on their level, a place we can be taught the word on our level, a place where there can be fellowship and communion with each other and with God. I'm thankful for this place, but this place is not the church. You are the church. We just assemble in the building. We could assemble outside and still be the church. We could assemble at CenturyLink and still be the church. We can assemble at Independence Stadium on December 15th, which we will, and still be the church because we are an assembly. Now notice he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. We need to be in the assembly in the church because that's where the word of God is preached. And you need to be able to draw on others' faith, others' belief, the communion and fellowship of saints. Hallelujah. You know, I've had folk tell me, well, I would come to you. I had a guy tell me this just recently. He said, I would come to your church. He said, I just can't take big churches. And I said, I get that. I said, but you tell me this. I said, at what point was I supposed to tell people to stop coming? At what point was it, you know,
I had a guy tell me one time that he would never go to a church that had over 300 people. He said, I'd never go to a church that had over 300 people. He's mad at me because we had a church more than 300 people. And I said, what was I supposed to tell? Number 301, you're not welcome here. What was I supposed to do after 300? Stop growing, tell everybody to go somewhere else. It makes no sense whatsoever. But listen, in the midst of as many folk as we got here, surely you can find somebody to fellowship with. Surely you can find a prayer partner, a friend. Surely out of all these folk, you can find somebody to help you walk through this life. So don't use the big church as an excuse. There are plenty of groups, plenty of fellowships within this fellowship for you to assemble with and for you to begin to come into the yoke with. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. See, even for those that watch this live feed, and I know there are communities all across the nation that are watching this live feed as a community, and that's so important, bringing people in your home, having a community, feeding on the Word of God. But listen, if you're out there by yourself as a Lone Ranger, you need to be in an assembly. If there's not an assembly close to where you are, then you might need to drive. But you need to be in there. There is something about the assembly. God has always blessed the assembling of ourselves together. His first act when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt was for Moses to build a tabernacle, and then he called them to assemble around that tabernacle because not only could they draw from God, but they could draw from each other. And God wants us in a place where we can get faith from him and have each other built up and encouraged. Notice what he said in verse 25, but exhorting one another, building up one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, drop down in that chapter to verse number 36, 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Read verse 36 with me out loud. Ready? Read. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the will of God is found in the Word of God? I firmly believe that. So, where you see will of God in verse 36, I want you to read Word of God. Ready? Read. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the word of God, you might receive the promise. God's saying you're not going to receive the promise till after you've done the word. You've got to do the word. Do the book. I told y'all that years ago. We're do the book Christians. Do the book. You have no right to expect of God when you didn't do what he called you to do. But after we have done what his word says to do, the Bible says now you need to be patient. You need to not waver, because he is faithful that promise. That's what verse 23 said. See, look at verse 23 and look at verse 36 and see how they fit. Look at let's do this. Let's read verse 23 and then let's read verse 36 together. Ready? Read. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the word of God, you might receive the promise. Did anybody get that? He's saying you can't waver off the word when you've heard the word. If you want to see the word manifest, then there's got to be some follow through to the seed that you have planted. Watch verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just, read verse 38 with me. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Keep reading. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He's saying faith's got to have follow through. Faith's got to have some follow through. Listen, when you hear the word, church, I want to get this over to you. When you hear the word of God and it's planted, that's all the sower can do. You now have got to make a decision to abide in that word and to line your thoughts and your words up with that word. Can't nobody else do that for you. But if there's not a follow-through of your faith, then you don't have any rights to expect the end of your faith. It'd be no different than planting seed on bad ground and wonder where your harvest is, or planting no seed at all, or digging up seed right after you planted it and never giving it time to yield its increase. There's got to be some follow-through to your faith. Amen. Now, come over with me two more chapters. To Hebrews 13. Now let's go to verse 7. I feel like I'm just loading y'all up. Everybody getting this? Am I going too fast? Somebody told me I was going to make heaven if I didn't run past it. All right, watch this. I just get in a hurry. Got a lot I want to say, though. So little time. Watch verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Notice what the word is saying here. He's saying you need to be in line with those that are speaking the word of God over you, whose faith, what faith? The faith that comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. There has to be some follow through. Some follow-through. Don't let the seed get planted and there be no follow-through. Don't come to a church service and be made free and then don't come back. There's got to be some follow-through. Keep planting. Keep cultivating. Keep sowing. Be patient with what you're doing. Being patient means I'm consistent. I'm not going to give up, cave in, or quit. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm going to be patient about his word until I see him glorified in my life. All right, turn back with me now to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter. John, chapter number 15. It's not that we've not done the right thing. I believe for many it's that we haven't done the right thing long enough. Anything irritates me is when I hear somebody say, I tried that. What do you mean you tried that? When are you going to live that? You can't try that. You live that. The just shall live by faith. It's my life. It's not a test because I'm not trying to decide whether or not I'm going to follow. See, when you say I tried that, that's like I'm going to test God to see whether or not I'm going to follow him. You don't test God to see whether or not you're going to follow him. You make a decision whether or not you're going to follow him. And when you once you make that decision, then now you are committed to this thing. Your hands are to the plow, and you're not looking back, according to Luke 9:62. All right, watch this here in John 15, and we'll start here in verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So does God want you less fruitful or more fruitful? More fruitful. And notice he's the husbandman that knows how to manage our life that will yield more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. He didn't say, try me out, and I'll try you. No, abide in me. That word abide means remain stable and fixed. Remain stable and fixed in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear what? Fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. Jesus is saying, you will not be fruitful if you're not abiding in me, if you're not remaining stable and fixed in me. When it's easy, when it's hard, you make a commitment that I'm going to stick to this word. What can you do with a man that won't quit? When I have done all I know to do, I'm going to stand. Hallelujah. Jesus is showing you and me how to be fruitful. Now watch this, he says in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, read with me, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you abide not in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He's saying, you have no life outside of me. You have no life outside of me. I was out there with the boys a couple weeks ago trimming the lower branches on some of our trees. And so we trimmed them all up, and we had a busy day, so I had to kind of hit it quick, and, you know, knock the limbs off, and I said, we'll come back later and pull all the limbs together to the burn pile. And so what happened was is a day turned into 2 days, and 3 days turned into four. And almost a week went by, and I hadn't pulled them limbs and hadn't got the boys to go out there and do it. And I said, man, I hate I didn't pull them things immediately, because it's so much easier dragging a limb when it's green, because it's flexible and it's just easier to work with, you know. But when that thing gets hard and stiff, you know, that thing's not very manageable. And I said, boy, I let that thing stay disconnected from the tree too long. You know, it done got too dead. It was harder to move. It was harder to deal with. My point is that a tree limb that's just been cut, even though it's been cut, it's still got more life in it right after the cut than it's gonna have in time. When you disconnect that limb from the tree, it is only a matter of time that it's gonna dry out, wither up, and become hard and lifeless, and there's no it's no longer limber. That's what happens to us when we disconnect from Jesus. That's what happens to our lives when we're out of his word, when we're out of the assembly, when we're out of his will. We're like a branch that's disconnected from the tree, and we wither up. And you see people in this condition, and they say, well, Pastor, I know I hadn't been in the word, but I've been going through something. But look what you're doing. How are you going to be fruitful in what you're going through when you've disconnected from the life-giving source of his word? So watch this. He says in verse 7, read it with me. If you abide in me, woo, that's good right there. Let's read it again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's the same thing that he said about the sycamine tree. If my word is like seed in your heart, you speak to this sycamine tree, and it obeys you. What the point he's making is that we don't go around talking to trees, but that we have the power to speak to circumstances and situations based on the written word of God. And he says here, if you're abiding in me, if you're remaining stable and fixed in me, and my words are actually abiding in you. What does it mean for his word to abide in me? It means that they're remaining stable. They're remaining established. Like Psalms 1, I'm a tree planted. Like Joshua 1 and 8, I'm meditating in this day and night. I'm not letting his word out of my heart. I'm not letting it leave my life. His word is abiding. This isn't a person that says, well, I read the Bible. What does that mean, that you read the Bible? Like it's a book that you read and walk away and take a test and pass. You don't just read the Bible and all of a sudden have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, as it is poured out through the avenue of the understanding of his spirit. You remain in his word. You don't read it and then close it and say, I passed that test. You don't graduate Christianity. You don't graduate faith. You live faith. And he says here, if you're abiding in me and my words are abiding in you, you ask what you will. You ask what you will. You say what you will. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the tree, and it shall be done. Jesus said, you have what you say. When you abide in me and my words abide in you. Look at what he's saying here. He's saying that you having the manifestation of your mouth is based on whether or not my word is actually in your heart. Amen. Can you say amen? Now, because see, this is so counterculture. This is so counterculture. Folks read that, oh, you just can't have what you say. You just can't do that. Well, you go live your life. I'm living mine. But I've been living this since I first understood it. And I don't know no other way to live except to take him at what he said and to say what he said. Now listen, I don't look at me. I'm nothing except a man that's tried to be faithful that the Lord's been very gracious to. But and if I had it all together, then he wouldn't get any glory. And I don't have it together. That's why he gets the glory from my life and what he's doing. But his word is true. And I don't care who you are or where you came from. This word will work if you'll just stay in it and let that word stay in you. That's what he's saying here. He's saying if you're abiding in me and my words are in you, ask what you will. It's done. You have what you say when you say what's in my word. Now, you might think, you know, that this is all to your advantage. But watch verse 8 says, behind that statement, read with me verse 8, ready? Read. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, or my disciplined ones. He's saying, when you're hearing my word and my word's taking place in your heart, and you won't move off my word, you won't move off my truth. My truth is in you and you are in truth. Now you're speaking, you're praying, you're making confessions over your life, over your marriage, over your children, over God's will. And he says, and you're having what you're saying, because what you're saying is in line with my word. He says, and when that happens, herein, in this, is my Father glorified. Do you realize that when we speak the word and the word manifests itself in our life, that brings God glory? God wants to be glorified in our lives, but he can't be when we don't get this seed planted and see its harvest. Are you seeing it? Don't let the enemy choke your seed. Man, folk just silly that will try to contradict the faith of God's word. Now watch this with me. Let's go to Romans 4, and I'm almost done here. Romans 4. Has this helped anybody? Y'all kind of quiet tonight. Make sure y'all getting it. I like you quiet, because then I can talk and y'all listen. That's great. But I like to know you're getting it, because I won't be no less talking if y'all not getting it. I ain't saying this for me. Shoot, I could have put my my athletic shorts. I could put my athletic shorts on and my t-shirt and just lay up and get this word myself. I could be home tonight laying up just you know, in my little gray gym shorts and just read the word. I'm not up here for me, I'm up here for you. I want you to get this. If you get it, God will be glorified in your life. Tell your neighbor that. If you get it, God will be glorified in your life. And you'll end up living by his word. And God will be smiling in heaven and say, that's what I was up to. Listen, God's got an agenda. He's up to something. See, he wants you to live by faith, and you're thinking you're living by faith so you can get the results. But God don't even worry about the results. That's not what moves him. It is hearts and souls that are in tune with him that moves him. And he knows that if you come into a relationship with him and his word, then that will transmogrify your life. He knows that's what's going to happen. You think you're just living by faith because you've done looked every which way but up, and now you're looking up to live by faith because he's the only hope. But God is saying, oh, you think that little thing you're standing in faith for is all that. But what you don't know is I am transforming you into one of my disciples by your diving into my word and planting my word in your heart. You don't realize you're being transformed by the word. The seed is coming in your heart. You think the harvest is the promise, and God is saying, my harvest is your changed life. My harvest is when your life now is bringing me glory. Your conversation brings me glory. Your attitude brings me glory. Your giving brings me glory. Next thing you know, you're nothing like you used to be. Nothing like it used to be. And God's like, oh, the manifestation of that word you stood on, that wasn't nothing. Here you go. When you grab the heart of God, the hand of God will move. And getting in his word gets you in tune with the heart of God. Faith pleases him. It doesn't make him mad. God's not looking at you saying, oh, here he goes, believe me for something else. Faith pleases him. Amen. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Faith pleases him. Yeah. It pleases. God gets excited when you have faith. Amen. Somebody that'll take him at his word. If you're going to take him at his word, take him at his word. Don't be trying to, you know, tweak the thing and justify it and make it real small. Lord, we're going to make this small for you, easy to do it. No, you don't need nothing small and easy. Amen. Now, I don't even know where I told you to go. Okay, Romans 4, watch this. Drop down with me to verse number 17. Don't you dare leave here and tell somebody, that's a good sermon. I don't do sermons. I teach life. I want you to leave here and live. You don't have, listen, your notes are wonderful. If you don't live them, pointless. Love seeing you here. Love it. Love it. Just beautiful seeing what God's doing in this city. Should never happen. They said never happen. It's happened. It's beautiful. I see that intro video they put together and all that. It just amazes me what God is doing. White, black, old, young, Hispanic, Heinz 57, everybody. I mean, it's just beautiful. I know you wonder what Heinz 57 is. That's me. I don't know what's in that family tree. Who got behind the tree? I don't even know. Don't need to know. But don't just be here to be here. Live this word. Live this word. Live it. Live it and watch everything change. Live it. Live it. Don't go through them. Tradition. Tradition taught us to go to church on Sunday and put on our best. And to pay attention to how loud the speakers played and how the room temperature felt. So we could leave there and say that was too loud or it's too cold in there. That's what religion did to us. We just went through the motions. That's why we had over 7,000 people here on Easter Sunday. 7,000, over 7,000 in four services showed up here on Easter Sunday. Why? Because that's what religion said do. Every Easter you have to go to church. And they'll be back on Mother's Day. And we might as well go ahead and give them a Christmas card then because we won't see them again until Christmas. I ain't mad nobody. Come, we'll sow this seed in you. The point is quit going through the motions for the sake of going through the motions. Quit going to church. Well, you know, I go to church. That way my mama raised me, you know. She raised me to go to church. I'm going to go to church. What are you getting at church? Well, I didn't really get nothing, but I got to go. You know, my mama raised me. No, quit going through the motions. Live it. Invest in a service before you arrive. Start praying for the word. Lord, speak through pastor or whoever's going to be speaking. Lord, I need a word from you. Start making demands on the Holy Spirit before you even walk in the building. That'll get you here on time because you believe the Lord will meet with you here. All right, well, I'm almost done. Watch this, Romans 4. I'm going to have you out earlier than I did last week. Watch this, Romans 4. Everybody there? All right, watch this, verse 17. As it is written, God speaking to Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, oh, you got to see this. Before him whom he believed, even God, he believed God, when God told him, I've made you a father of many nations. If you go back and read the story, he told him he was going to do that through Isaac. It was written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He did that before Abraham even had a boy. God had already planted that seed. Abraham was going to have an Isaac because the word had already promised the Isaac. So when God told Abraham, you're going to have Isaac, even though Sarah wasn't even pregnant yet, Isaac might as well already be here. Did you get that? I got to say it again for myself. I need to hear that. God, when he told Abraham he was going to have Isaac, Sarah wasn't even pregnant. They ain't even had a date night. But as soon as God said, you're going to have Isaac, Isaac might as well have already been born and graduated high school. Because once God said it and Abraham believed it, then it was planted in his heart. Time just had to manifest what was already real in the spirit. See, you've got to get to the place when you hear the word and that word gets in your heart that you recognize my Isaac's already here, even though my wife ain't even pregnant yet. He's already here. This thing is already here because the seed for it is planted. Don't know different than the illustration I gave you when my daddy planted a garden and he'd plant them rows, look like dirt, and I'd go to step as a little boy and he's, ah, get out my turnip greens. Get out of your turnip greens. I just stepped in a mound of dirt. But my daddy knew what was under the dirt. He knew what was in the ground. And so when my daddy said, don't step on my turnip greens, even though there wasn't nothing coming up out of the dirt, he knew what seed had been planted. So my daddy really was calling the thing that be not as though it were. When you get the word of God in your heart, can call the thing that be not as though it were. So watch this, verse 17. He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth, read the rest with me, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now notice he's saying when you have faith in your heart, your mouth is saying what be, even when it be not. Remember what Jesus said. If you had faith as seed, you say to this tree, and it obeys you, you're having what you say. Why? Because you have what you say. See, once you have what you say, you have what you say. But you can't have what you say when you don't have what you say. You've got to have what he said if you're going to have what he said. My God. But if you got what he said, you going to got what he said. Bad English, good preaching. All I need is a seed. And notice Abraham was able to do that based on, verse 17, what had been written. Now don't go around just saying silly stuff. And then, you know, somebody say, what are you doing? Oh, I'm called a thing that be not as though it were. That's hyper. You're hyper faith. You can only call what be not as though it were when it's written. When I was single and believing God for Chrissy Lafitte, who then was Chrissy Lafitte, I said, Lord, you said, no good thing would you withhold to them that walk upright. And Lord, you said that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So based on those promises, I receive my good thing. I could do that, but I couldn't claim Chrissy and then say I'm calling the thing that be not as though it were. So I'll be naming and claiming people. Because those people have their own mind. And God ain't gonna make them love you. So find somebody that will. I don't know who needed that one, but there you go. I was the one that prayed before they came to church. See, there's your answer right there. Leave him alone. So notice he's calling those things that be not as though they were based on what was written. You see it? That's how Elijah stopped the rain when the children of Israel were committing idolatry. You know, oh my goodness, I try to close and can't. I gotta share this. The book of James says Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but yet he prayed and it rained not. Well, he didn't just decide he didn't want it to rain. He watched the children of Israel commit idolatry, and based on the law of Deuteronomy, if you worship another god, God will make the heavens like brass and not give rain. So he made a declaration based on what was written. If y'all not gonna worship God, then it ain't gonna rain. And it didn't rain, but it wasn't Elijah's words, that was God's word. All Elijah did was receive what God said and say what God said, and then he had what God said. But the book of James says, don't think Elijah was any supernatural person. He was a guy just like you and me, but he had faith that whatever God said he would do. So he called the thing that be not as though it were. See, faith's gonna always show up in your mouth when it's in your heart. You were made in the image of God. Tell your neighbor that. You were made in the image of God. God creates through the avenues of imagination and confession. God sees it. He creates based on imagery. He sees it, and then he says it. Ooh, on creation dawn, God in the natural would have seen light. I mean, darkness. That's what was around him. But in him was light. And in the Hebrew, it's translated, you can really read, let there be light, to say, light in me be. Light in me be. See, God is light. And the darkness couldn't comprehend the light that he is. Once he spoke it, then light burst into the atmosphere. That was on day one. He didn't create the sun, moon, and stars till day four. The light of creation was the light of the glory of God. When he spoke, light in me be, let there be light. We were made in his image. You were made in the image of God. That means you should be able to imagine a thing. You should be able to see a thing before you see it by faith and then confess, speak that thing over your life. I know that's heavy. Some folks like, you just can't do that. Okay, I'm almost done right here. Watch verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Read the rest. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So he's relying on what was said no matter what he went through. And I'm closing right here in verses 19 through 21. Here we go. And being not weak in, he considered not his own body, now dead. See, you got to stop considering the things that are hindering your faith. When God said you're going to have a boy, he didn't need to be considering his own body. Amen. Quit considering things that are relevant to what God said. Quit mapping out how God's going to do it. The word says when the seed is planted, you sleep and you rise, and you sleep and you rise, and the seed springs forth, you know not how. Quit trying to figure out what God's already worked out. All right, according to that which was spoken, verse 18, so shall thy seed be, verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So there were plenty of excuses to say this will never happen, but he can't be considering that. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He's glorifying God for what God said even before he saw what God said. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's a man operating by faith. He's heard the word. He's standing on the word. And he's not wavering in that word. It's out of his mouth and it's in his actions. It's been planted. That word is planted now. I know it's planted because it's in your heart and it's coming out your mouth. Okay, it's there. Now it's time to go to work. So starting next Wednesday, we're going to talk about how to put your faith to work, how to work your faith. Faith without corresponding action is dead. Okay, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. Now what next? What do we do now? I'm going to show you how to walk this thing out. And your life will never be the same again. Glory to God. Let me pray for you this evening. Father, we thank you for your word. That your word is an incorruptible seed. And I pray right now, Father, that you would break up the parts of our heart that have grown hard and calloused, that our heart would be good ground for the seed of your word. Seed that you've said will never return unto you void. Every head bowed. Are you living by what he said? Are you living by what he said? Quit separating the word from your life. Live this word with your life. Don't make it a Sunday thing. Don't make it a Wednesday thing. Make it a life thing. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. Live by his word. Live by his promise. Live by the hope of his word. If you're here right now, you're watching this live feed, and you don't know Jesus as Savior, are you ready to plant the seed of faith for your salvation in your heart, to believe that he died for you. He died for you. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you allow that in your heart? And if it's there, you will confess Jesus Christ with your mouth. If you're born again, take inventory. Are you living by faith? Are you abiding in his word? Is the word abiding in you? Do you change your conversation when you get around certain people? Are you wavering? Are you consistent? Are you patient? I want to pray a prayer. It's going to be a prayer of salvation and a prayer of faith. So whether you're lost or saved, this prayer will fit you. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that your word is a seed. And I ask that you would cultivate my heart. Break up the stony ground. Cause my heart to become good ground for the good seed of your word. I ask forgiveness of my sins, that you cleanse me of all unrighteousness. If I've planted anything in my heart that resembles a tear or thorns, I ask that you uproot it as only you can. And give me the wisdom to be a good steward of my heart and what I allow to be planted in my life. I make a decision to guard my heart with all diligence, to live by faith. I believe you planted your son in my life that I might walk in a harvest, in a life that would bring him glory. In Jesus' name. Church, that's what it's all about. See, when God's word gets planted, when Jesus gets planted, the harvest brings him glory because the harvest is him. We become fruitful for his glory. It's not about receiving a promise that was in the word. God says that's easy. It's about a life that begins to look like Jesus, a life that looks like Jesus, a life that brings God glory.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.